Modern, Ezekiel's. I've known some people who claim they've had UFO experiences and have said they were very pleasant, very dreamlike, and wonderful. But invaders don't always come armed to the teeth and threatening. Sometimes they come with happy smiles, waving flags, bearing Bibles and crosses. On the Street Interview, courtesy of UFO Magazine. UFO abduction cases tend to follow a distinct pattern. A human being is involuntarily taken aboard a UFO, is given a comprehensive physical examination, and is then released. An abductee's memory of the event is usually buried because of apparent mental tampering by the alien captors. Some researchers compare these abduction cases to human biologists who tranquilize wild animals, inspect them, and then release the creatures back into nature. Many recent UFO abduction cases have another recurring characteristic of great significance. Dr. Thomas E. Bullard of Indiana University, whose words appear in the MUFON UFO Journal dated February 1988, had this to say after conducting his own studies into the abduction phenomenon. The commonest sequel to the examination of a human abductee by UFO occupants is a conference, a more or less formal period of conversation between the witness and his captors. Warnings that certain human behaviors are dangerous and prophecies of coming events are also common. The prophecies usually predict coming disasters and even apocalyptic changes on Earth, events the aliens or an enlightened witness may mitigate. The documented cases reviewed by Dr. Bullard provide fascinating evidence that custodians continue to spread the same apocalyptic messages today that they have been implanting for thousands of years. Conversely, these modern cases add weight to the historical evidence that many ancient apocalyptic messages, such as those found in the Bible, did indeed come from the same extraterrestrial sources. Dr. Bullard's findings suggest that custodians are still being highly manipulative by, in effect, saying, "You humans are all behaving badly, although we are not going to tell you that we might be the ones who are stirring you up, and there will be catastrophe. Fear not, however, for we angelic souls will save you. Look to us and to our appointed messengers for your salvation." It is straight out of Machiavelli. UFO occupants still come right out today and imply that they are God. One abduction episode in which this occurred involved a woman named Betty and Andrea's son, whose well-documented and exhaustively researched experience was the subject of an intriguing book entitled The Andrea's Son Affair by Raymond Fowler. Mrs. Andreessen's abduction occurred on January 25, 1967. Later, while under hypnosis, Mrs. Andrea's son recalled that she had been kidnapped out of her home, was taken aboard an apparent alien aircraft and flown to an unknown location where she was led through what seemed to be a number of unusual red and green underground passages within some sort of city. Mrs. Andrea's son then had an experience which makes her story unbelievable to many people, but to us, it is the experience which may give her story the most credence. According to Mrs. Andrea's son, her abductors took her to a special room. There she underwent what her investigators described as the most painful and emotional segment of her total experience. In the room, Mrs. Andrea's son saw a large bird about 15 feet in height. The bird resembled an eagle, but it had a longer neck. It was, in fact, a replica of a phoenix, and it had the illusion of being alive. As Mrs. Andrea's son stood and watched it, the phoenix began to undergo a transformation. Mrs. Andrea's son felt an intense heat, so powerful that she cried out in pain during her hypnosis session while recounting the incident. The strange alien room abruptly cooled off. Where the great bird had stood there now burned a small fire. The fire died down to a pile of gray ash with a few red embers. As the pile continued to cool, Betty saw something in the ashes. "Now, looks like a worm," she recalled under hypnosis, "a big fat worm. It just looks like a big fat worm, a big gray worm just lying there." What Mrs. Andrea's son had witnessed was a reenactment of the legend of the phoenix, clearly staged for her benefit. The phoenix, as we recall, is a brotherhood symbol which has been used to promote apocalypticism and justify endless human suffering. Although Mrs. Andreessen's vision of the phoenix constituted only a small portion of her total abduction experience, the investigators concluded, it is only too obvious that the aliens had brought Betty to the bird as the focal point of her whole experience. It seemed to be the purpose for her travel through the red and green spaces. Mrs. Andrea's son testified under hypnosis that after being implanted with this mystical vision, the following conversation ensued between her and her captors. They called my name and repeated it again in a louder voice. I said, "No, I don't understand what this is all about, why I'm even here." And they, whatever it was, said that, "I have chosen you." "For what have you chosen me?" Betty asked. "I have chosen you to show the world." "Are you God?" Betty asked. "Are you the Lord God?" "I shall show you as your time goes by." At the time of her abduction, Mrs. Andrea's son was already a Christian. As a result of her experience, she began to include UFOs in her own Christian apocalyptic belief system. Researcher Raymond Fowler probed those beliefs. Raymond Fowler: "Have they, UFOs, anything to do with what we call the second coming of Christ?" Betty: "They definitely do." Raymond Fowler: "When is this going to occur?" Betty: "It is not for them to tell you." Raymond Fowler: "Do they know?" Betty: "They know the Master is getting ready and very close." If real, Betty Andreessen's experience was a remarkable one. It would indicate that she was but one in a very long line of reluctant prophets forcibly implanted with an apocalyptic religious message by members of the Custodial Society. Like the Ezekiels who preceded her in history, Betty Andreessen's testimony suggests that she suffered considerable mental tampering at the hands of her abductors. This tampering may account for some of the unusual perceptual phenomena she experienced during her abduction episode. Unlike past Ezekiels, however, Mrs. Andreessen's vision will probably not be added to the Bible, nor will it cause her to rally an army and embark on a campaign of religious conquest. Her courageous testimony will simply offer the world additional evidence that the 20th century has not seen a change in the methods by which a custodial race appears to maintain a hold on the human race. Does Mrs. Andreessen's experience mean that human society will be required to undergo yet another end-of-the-world episode? The political, social, and economic structure of the world certainly makes it possible. The Brotherhood Network is alive and active, as are the many institutions it created. They may well bring to our world yet another senseless final battle.